Welcome to the Road Trip Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Ray, NTTA's Media Relations Manager. You've heard from NTTA engineer Rachel Culhavey before on this podcast. Now she has a return visit to explore everything there is to know about the Dallas North Tollway extension and the new bridge over US 380. Rachel, we thank you for coming back. What was your role in making this project happen?
So I'm the resident engineer, and what that means is that basically I oversee everything from the contract execution to daily contractor operations. We also have a construction management team, and that those are consultants that are considered extension of staff, if you will, for NTTA that also help out with daily inspection tasks, monitoring the contractor's progress. So really, I'm just basically the overall engineer that's overseeing the project.
And a lot of people were involved with that, it sounds like.
Oh, yes. I think, you know, from planning through construction, we probably had, I would say, you know, 750 some odd people at any one time. And that includes everybody from planners to designers to, you know, construction management. And then, of course, all the laborers and the foremen who are out there constructing the bridge.
Well, it's an amazing structure now to see it. And I hesitated a moment ago. It's not really in finished form, correct? I mean, we're to the point where it's open for travel. But I know that's kind of a fine point that you wanted to make about where we are with this bridge.
Correct. So there is a lot that goes into these projects. And of course, we all see the bridge and it looks great and it's open to traffic. But there are also so many other components that go into it. So right now, the contractor is currently finishing out what we call punch list work, which is, you know, anything from is sort of more of, I don't want to call it incidental work, but it's not necessarily needed to open to traffic, but it's everything from finishing up landscaping work such as sod and seeding. We didn't have a lot of really complex landscaping on this job, but we still are finishing up some of the sod and seeding, and right now it's really hot, so they're finishing that up. We also have electrical and ITS components. Now those are all finished because we needed those, of course, to get the tolling gantries open, but there are still some, you know, illumination poles and luminaires that they're finishing out. So really everything, you know, riprap here and there, ceiling joints, job cleanup, sweeping, things like that, that just really, you know, bring it all to the end of the job.
When you look at it, it's such a wide structure, but it seems to me, I've got to finally drive it as a commuter last week, and it's so big, but we're only using a little part of it. Why is that to begin with anyway?
Sure. So basically, the bridge, this gets us over US 380, but we don't have the main lanes on DNT going north through Prosper and Salina yet. So the reason that we have such a wide structure is because it's ultimately built out to the full. Eventually, once we get the main lanes for the further DNT extensions open, we'll have four main lanes, both northbound and southbound. But right now, you basically don't have anywhere to go once you get over 380 because we don't have the main lanes in yet. So that's why we stripe it just for the exit and entrance ramps only to get you over 380. And then, of course, once the DNT extensions are constructed and open, then we'll come back and stripe it for the full configuration.
That's part of the if you build it, they will come equation that we talk about quite a bit around here. The development that tends to follow our tollways is really stunning. And all you have to do is look to the south of this project to see everything that's happened through the Frisco area to kind of envision what's going to happen to the north. When you look back on this, what was the timeline again? How long did it take to complete or to, again, get this bridge open in this configuration?
So we started in February of 2020, and then we've gotten everything open fully to traffic this spring of 2023. So, you know, roughly a little over 3 years to get everything fully open to traffic.
When you look at that, there just as a layperson, you can tell me, but it seems like there are a lot of concrete support structures. I don't know the correct term, but are there only certain times that you can pour that concrete? Is weather a factor? All the things that you mentioned, that had to affect that, right?
Yes, weather is a factor. We have temperature specifications for concrete both on the low side and the high side. So, for instance, you can't pour concrete unless the temperature is 35 and rising. So in the wintertime, sometimes that can affect us. We're lucky here because we have pretty mild winters, and so we don't have a huge window where we can't pour concrete structures, but you know, it does affect us with nighttime temperatures getting too low. And then also if we have extreme temperatures on the other side where it's too hot, we can have concrete what's called, you know, flash, where it sets up too quickly. So we have specifications on both sides based on extreme temperatures. So temperature definitely affects it with all of the concrete pours that we had on this job.
You mentioned earlier, one of the things you mentioned was beam setting. Are those concrete or are they steel? And what's that process? It looks like it's, well, you tell me, it looks like it's very complex.
So I have some fun facts for you on the beam. So these are all concrete beams on the job, and they're called Texas 54 concrete beams. We also had a few Texas 46 concrete beams that we used for the widening over PGA Parkway. So these are all concrete beams. We had about 9 to 12 beams for each span, both northbound and southbound for the main lanes. And those are 33 spans apiece. The beams weigh approximately 880 pounds per linear foot. They're pretty average, like 120 feet long. So we have, for each beam, they weigh about 105,000 pounds. All our beams are manufactured in Elmont, Texas, which is near Waco, and they had to be brought up here on a flatbed trailer. They're so heavy that they'll bring one beam at a time up on a trailer. And so we have to stage the beams. And so what that entails is basically they will send a shipment of beams up here. So usually they'll send like one or two spans or whatever they've got manufactured. And so we have to stage all the flatbed trailers somewhere on the project. So we'll have numerous flatbed trailers. Like I said, if we're setting one span, that would be about 12 beams per northbound span. On this job, we would set northbound at one time, and then we came back and did southbound. So they would bring, let's just say they brought in 12 beams that night, and this was always night work because we had to coordinate lane closures both on Dallas Parkway and then also our main lane closures on DNT to be able to bring these in. We did have to do lane closures. We coordinated with TxDOT, the Collin County Area Office, for lane closures over US 380. Everyone was really generous and made this really successful. We were able to set all of these beams pretty easily. Anyway, they'll bring the beams in, we'll stage them. Luckily, we had a lot of room on this project because it was a greenfield project. So we didn't have anything built yet, south of 380 or north of 380. So that's where we could stage the beams. But, you know, these are 120 foot long beams. We have to find a place to set them. So once they bring, all the trucks will come in. They usually start coming in the day before the night that we set the beams. They'll start coming in the afternoon. We'll stage all the beams. The contractor and the inspection staff and me, we have to make sure that the beams are in order because they are slightly different lengths depending on where they sit in that span. And so you have to make sure everything is in order. We do a pre-inspection of the beams to make sure there are no defects or spalls or anything that we have to address. And then once that's ready to go, the contractor starts setting beams. Usually they'll do, you know, they'll give us pick plans, which are basically how the cranes are going to be configured to lift each beam. And that also has to be reviewed. So we'll review that usually weeks before they even start bringing in the beams. And then they'll have the pick plan, and then they'll have a safety plan. Everything gets reviewed even before we start. So this is kind of a long process. But once they start, if everything is going really well and the weather is good, they can typically set a span a night. And so we really had pretty good luck on this project. We were able to set, we had 33 main lane spans, and we had about 1.44 million pounds of steel total in this project. So we got all of them set. And, you know, I just, that's thanks to, of course, City of Frisco, Town of Prosper, and of course, TxDOT. We all worked together for lane closure coordination. And yeah, that's what it takes to set beams. It's a long process. It starts from, you know, they submitting all of the erection plans and the engineered shop drawings for the beams. We review those go through engineering review. And then it goes from that to, you know, getting the trucking plan, staging the trucks, and then setting the beams.
That is fascinating. We should have done a podcast just on the beam setting. My goodness. I mean, like you say, all the coordination on that, and to have it go off without a hitch is stunning. Before we go, a couple of other things. Are there new techniques, new things that are going in? When we talked to you before, you talked about taking plans and electronically, or is it GPS overlaying them? Was that used in this project?
Well, right now, this was actually a pretty traditional project, but there are new advancements in the way that the contractor lays out the project. So the contractor will take our electronic plans or our plans, and they'll lay them out using GPS, and they'll basically create their own 3D model of our project so that they can process that through their own survey group, and then they'll set that out really based on a 3D model. And that's something that is fairly new. Before, you know, the contractor would typically go out and everything would be staked with grade stakes and blue tops. And we still use that to some extent, but I think now it's more of a hybrid where they're using more of the digital model to set out all of their survey, but they can take that from our electronic plans. And, you know, we have still the typical plan sheets and standards and specs and everything, but it's just the way the contractor processes it to really lay out the project that's changed a little bit.
All very interesting and way above my head. I can only imagine what goes into it. How about the future? You talked about, when we talked about the width of the bridge, what we're using now, that planning is underway for the lanes the main lanes to go north of 380. Where are we on that? Is that something you're involved in?
Yes. So right now, we've just gotten 90% plans from the designers for the extension of the DNT main lanes from the terminus of this bridge to FM 428. So that's currently in design. And then we hope to be letting that later this fall. It's going to be split up into two contracts, but the traveling public won't really notice any difference. That's more of an internal contractual thing, but we will start hopefully next year constructing that. So the DNT main lanes are coming.
Boy, and they're coming quickly. We're asked about it a lot, and I'm glad for that update. That is fascinating. The whole thing's been very, very interesting. And frankly, I don't know how you keep track of it all, but we appreciate you doing that. We're glad you're on the job, and thanks for telling us all about it.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's great fun for me to talk about it. I could talk about it for days. So if you have any more questions, just let me know.
Yeah, we'll send that on to the listeners. If you have any questions, we always ask you to send your feedback to mrey@ntta.org. mray@ntta.org. Rachel, once again, thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you so much, Michael.
And thank you to everyone listening. And please, we always urge you to drive safely.